It's time for a pause in your day. Welcome to a podcast where we press the pause button on our busy lives for a few moments, and we focus on God's Word with Sharon and Nicole. We pray this is a time of refreshing for you. The Sweet Selah Moments podcast is a cooperative production of Word Radio and Sweet Selah Ministries.
Welcome to Sweet Selah Moments. We're celebrating 10 seasons of sharing God's Word with you, and this season is our Selah season. This is episode 143, Blessings. We've talked about blessings in earlier podcasts and mostly focused on how we can speak a blessing over a child or loved one. We're going to expand that thought a lot today. But first, because this is our Selah season, we're going to talk about our Selah word for the day, the tip that we have to help us all practice pausing and simply being with God, who loves us. So far, we've talked about the beauty of silence and the need to sometimes go slow. Sharon, what is our word for today?
Well, the Selah lesson of the day is the word solitude, and solitude actually does differ from silence. So let me explain. Silence is actually just what it sounds like. No noise. Shush. And my favorite thought of silence comes from my father in the car when all four of us kids were loud and rowdy, and we were driving 5 hours up to Bar Harbor, which is near where my grandparents lived. My mother and my father could only handle the noise for so long. There'd be, "He is looking at me," and "Oh, get your elbow out of my ribs," and "When are we there?" You know, all the things. And blah, 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 blah. And then my sister, oh my goodness, Nicole. My sister's, I don't know if you've ever heard this song. It's "There's a Hole in My Bucket, Dear Willie, Dear Willie."
Yes.
"Now Mend It." Yeah. She would not stop singing it. I cannot even tell you.
It's kind of an annoying song, too.
How painful it was. Yes. Oh. So anyways, it was evidently painful to my father, too, because my mother would say, my father's name was Ray, like my husband. So she'd say, "Ray, I cannot take this noise," in her little British accent. And my father would say, "All right, children, silence treatment." Oh. And silence treatment meant not a sound, or we will pull over the car and there will be consequences.
Consequences.
Right. So instantly, the car, mid-sentence, because Daddy was not messing around, baby.
Wow.
We had to be absolutely silent. And my mother would say, "Thank you, Ray."
Oh, my goodness. And it worked.
Oh, well, the threat of pulling the car over after he'd done it a couple of times, we got the message. Yeah. So, okay. So, that's silence. No noise. Okay. Solitude is different, on the other hand. It's simply being by ourselves.
Yes.
So we don't have to be quiet when we're alone. We can actually sing to God out loud. We can play the piano, which I used to do during my quiet times. We can pray out loud. We can do all kinds of things if we want to. So solitude is just being comfortable being alone with not other people, not needing other people kind of thing. So do you find that hard to be all by yourself? Some people do. Or do you like it? What are your thoughts on that?
I've always been okay being on my own. I don't know if it's an oldest child thing, but I've always been the one to go off my own and play quietly. My younger sister was always wanting to be with someone all the time. She'd follow me or my mom.
Yeah.
But I crave solitude. I just love being on my own,
just
doing
you.
My thing. Yeah.
Just you. Me
and
too.
It's hard to find it. It's definitely hard to find it as you get older and there's more people in your life.
It is hard. Yeah. With retreats, sometimes I give the Selah hour where people are to go off on their own. And for some women, that is really hard because they're not comfortable with solitude. They want to be with other people. So I'm not sure I'd like it all the time, but I absolutely love solitude because, of course, I'm not alone. God is with me. Like, I can walk the beach. Ogunquit Beach is one of my favorite beaches to walk. And there's people going by all the time, but they're not talking to me.
Right.
You know, and I hear their little conversations for a moment. But I feel that aloneness. It's me and God. It's our day.
Yeah.
And not everybody can do this either, because I've recommended it and people look at me like, "Well, good for you." but I like having a meal alone.
Yeah.
I bring my Selah bag and I have my little journal and I have some books to read, and whatever I feel like doing, I'll sit but in a pretty spot, and usually have to tip the waitress double because I stay too long. And I remember as a waitress when people would not let me turn over my table to get tips.
Oh, yeah.
Because you lose out, right?
Oh, I love that you do that.
I do the double tip. And then my credit card always writes me and goes, did you mean to do that with your tip? I'm like, well, yes, I did.
Actually, yes.
I just sat there for 2.5 hours at one table.
Right,
you know,
right.
I tripled my tip.
That's so nice. That's a good thoughtfulness to do.
So, but I like solitude. I like being alone. So why do you think solitude is important sometimes?
I think it's really important for us to learn to be with ourselves. I think, I don't know if you've been doing it longer, so solitude is easier if you're out with people. It's still a discipline I'm learning. If I do a Sila day and I'm out with lots of people, I'm still distracted by, oh, what's going on with them? Oh, my attention span is not great. But we have to learn solitude because there's a lot of times in life where we cannot have people around us.
That's not true.
Have the ability to reach out. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think even during most recently, during COVID, we were not able to go and meet up with a friend and just hug them and hold them and weep together. We miss some of that human contact that some people desperately craved.
Right.
But it forces me to turn to God.
Yes.
If I don't have an easy human contact to reach out to tell my problems to, because they're right there, I have to talk to God.
That's all you got.
That's all I've
got. And it's all you need.
And it's all I need.
Right.
But we forget because it's like an easy fix to just talk with a person next to you.
Exactly. I'm thinking of Job saying, naked I came from the womb and naked I will return. You know, you enter the world alone.
Yes.
You leave the world alone.
Yeah.
You know, and in between, there may be times, you know, if I'm widowed, if my Ray dies before me, I will be alone. And to be used to my own company with the Lord, I think is a good thing. I really do. I think solitude's important. And I think the Bible emphasizes that. Jesus, before he started his ministry, had solitude in the desert for 40 days.
Yep.
And actually, right before he died, there was another little wilderness time in there.
That's right. Yeah. We discovered that recently.
Yeah. And then Paul, when he accepted Christ, he said, I did not go right up to Jerusalem, but the Lord brought me out into the desert alone again with solitude. Elijah spent time alone. He needed it. He went and took that nap under the broom tree.
He did.
Right?
I love that nap.
So I think that God speaks to us. I think you kind of nailed it when you said, if there's no one else around, you kind of have to turn to him.
It sounds so bad, but it's true.
Yes.
It's just, there's no other option. You go, oh, you should have been my first option, but I forget because...
So solitude is a definite sealer word.
Yes.
It really is. So we need times of solitude.
Mm. And even the short, Jesus got up, I think every morning, and met with his father. There's so many passages where he gets up early in the morning to go meet with God, with his father. So even those shorter times of solitude are equally as important as if we don't have the time to go to the desert for 40 days. It does sound kind of nice, though.
I know.
40 days of alone time, I'm telling you, some days.
that part does, but the not eating and drinking part.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. And Satan tempting us, never mind, I'll just do the morning quiet time.
Exactly. Oh, my.
Oh my goodness. So I was thinking about this, and sometimes with my kids too, I'll tell them, the girls will blame each other, or they'll get in a fight and, oh, well, she told me to do this and she told me to do that, and it's her fault. And I'll say to them, you're going to stand before God someday by yourself.
Yes.
You can't point and say, Danielle made me do it. This girl made me. Like, we are alone before God, accounting for our life. And we have to remember that, and not to frighten them, but to just impress the weight of their actions upon them.
Exactly.
I think that's really important for myself to remember.
You're right.
But it's so easy. Like, well, my husband didn't do devotions with our kids, so we don't do... You know what? I have to stand before God to make an account about how I raised my children or how I did my quiet time with him.
We can't point to anybody else.
We can't. It's not a good excuse. It won't hold up.
You're right.
So we got to be careful about that.
You're right.
So let's see. What are we out now?
You're going to talk about the Sila Psalm.
Perfect. Oh my goodness, I jumped ahead. It's like, wait a minute, where are we? All right, so let's get back to today's Sila Psalm.
There we go. You were too busy walking away in solitude. And I'm like,
I was. I like quiet time. So instead of just seeing a blessing as a way to speak encouragement to another person, today we're going to expand on an idea and add it to a desire to wish another person well, basically wanting God's best for them. Sharon, although it should be easy, there are times when it isn't.
It isn't always easy to want the best for someone else. If I'm competing for an award, it's really hard if my friend is competing too to root for her,
yeah,
right?
I
mean, it is. It just is hard. So, or if someone's hurt me, it's hard for me to want blessing for them.
Yes.
My natural desire is that they would feel as hurt as I felt.
Right.
Right? So, but we're supposed to desire good for others, not harm. Mm. I sure want people to want my best for me, so I should for others. How do you help kids with that? How do you help children in tricky situations want the best for others?
Ooh, yeah, that's hard. I think I just try to help them imagine them in their other person's shoes, in their sister's circumstance. Like, if this happened to you, how would you feel? How would you want to be treated?
Right, right. I think that's the best
way.
The golden rule.
Yeah, goes back to that.
There's a few Bible verses that I found that kind of drive the point home, and I want to read them because they're so important for understanding the importance of wanting to give blessing. So let me read the first passage, and then I'll have you read the second. It's Romans 12, 15 to 20, and I'm reading in the NLT for this one. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads.
That verse is so funny.
So I know. So, okay. So I'm going to just unpack a couple of things here. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to be careful who we talk to about our happiness. I have a lot of grandchildren. I love my grandchildren. Not every friend has been blessed with grandchildren.
Mm.
The person to brag on my grandchildren to is not the person that wishes she had them, is it?
Oh, right.
No, no. So we need to find the people that share the happinesses and share that with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone that needs to weep, we need to weep with them. That's
right.
Being thoughtful. That's
blessing
them. It's no blessing to tell them about all your blessings if they're not experiencing them, right? So I also love, do everything you can to live at peace with people. We're not supposed to be stirring up trouble.
No.
We're supposed to be doing the opposite. And the burning coals of shame on their head just makes me giggle. Because when you're really nice to someone who hasn't been nice to you, it kind of annoys them a little bit.
Right.
Because they want to be justified in their meanness.
Yes.
And when you're kind back, it's hard on them a little bit. So.
Right, well, it kind of fizzles out their little fire. Like, wait a minute.
Exactly.
What's going on?
Yeah. So anyways, I thought that was sweet. And it helps us remember, the goal is to bless others.
Yes.
The goal is not to make their life worse.
Right. So. But in the moment when we're angry, we're not thinking about it.
So. Okay. What's your passage?
So Philippians 2, verses 1 through 4. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take interest in others too. Ooh, this is good. It's similar to the, you see a couple of different things mentioned again.
Yeah.
So it's definitely important. Our hearts, our fellowship, if we're close to God, it starts with any fellowship together in the Spirit, our encouragement from belonging to Christ. So our mutual binding should be Jesus. We have to remember, you're my brother or sister in Christ. Even if we have conflict, unresolved issues, we're still brothers and sisters.
Yes.
So start from that place and move toward resolution. Like you said, it's our goal is not to punish or to make sure they know they're wrong or whatever, even if they are. Our goal should be restoration in that relationship.
Yes.
So like you said, then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly, loving each other and working together with one mind and purpose. So that's what God's heart is for.
It sure is.
No one wants to listen to kids fighting. It's the worst. I tell my kids that all the time. It's so awful when you're all fighting.
Yes. We want to
get along.
Yes. It's so much sweeter. Yes. It really is. Absolutely.
And then he ends with just some ways to do that. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress them. Be humble. Don't look about your own interests, but those of others as well.
Take an interest in others as well. It's not all about us.
That's the key to it. Right. That's
blessing.
Yes.
Blessing is wanting good for another.
Right.
And we can get so wrapped up in our own selfish little selves that we don't wish good for others as much as we should.
Yeah, we're fixing
And this is
our
something
own.
We're supposed to do. Mm. And this Sila Sama is going to teach us how.
Here we go.
So, okay, the Sila Sama of the day is Psalm 20. And then we're going to read it through and talk especially about the part that comes before the Sila. Mm. We'll be reading in the English Standard Version so that I can get my Sila word. And I'll start with verse 1 and we'll go back and forth and then stop when we get to the Sila. Mm-hmm. All right? So the introduction is to the choir master, a Psalm of David. So Psalm 20, verse 1. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you.
May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion.
May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. Selah. So, let's pause here. We're supposed to pause and think about it. What kinds of blessings and well wishes does David want for his people?
Mm.
Look at the things he's wishing for them.
He wants God to answer them. Protect
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
Send them help from the sanctuary. The sanctuary. Wow, that's a big word.
Yeah.
And give you support from Zion.
Mm-hmm.
That's some pretty good support.
Mm-hmm.
Remember and regard with favor. Those are all beautiful
may
things
God
to wish
regard
on people.
With favor.
Yeah.
It's so sweet. And the may God turns it from I'm going to wish upon a star for you, right? To may God, may the only one that can do these things do
yes.
this for you.
Yeah.
So that turns it prayer-like. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
When you say, may God bless you,
mm-hmm.
you're actually wanting God to do good things for that other person. That's
right.
why it's a blessing.
He says in verse 1, the name of the God of Jacob protects you. So he mentions that all of this can only come from God Almighty.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's so pretty. I really like it.
Good.
So, okay. Well, let's continue now and finish the psalm. And there's going to be more may gods in this and wishing well with God's help for other people. So I forget completely. Oh, it's your turn. Verse 4.
Okay. So may he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans.
May we shout for joy over your salvation and in the name of our God set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions.
Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand.
Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God.
They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright.
O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call.
Ooh.
Look at all the blessings there.
This is beautiful.
Isn't it? This is something, if you and Josh ever do a blessing over your girls, you could just read
I'll say, this
part
one's
of this.
Like, pull out blessing, read it through.
Yeah,
it's all laid out there.
Exactly, exactly. We're wanting the heart's desire of the other to be fulfilled.
Isn't that sweet?
Yes, yes,
may
yes,
we
yes.
shout for joy over your salvation. Oh, that's so they're rejoicing for them, for their salvation.
Uh-huh,
again, that
uh-huh.
looking to the other's interest.
And not just our own.
That
being
self
happy
is a huge
for
blessing.
Them.
Yeah.
This is selfless.
Yeah.
Blessing is selfless. It's what I want, what's best for you.
Mm.
Yeah. May God fulfill all your petitions.
Oh, answer your
may
prayers.
May he answer your prayers.
Yes.
I know it. I know it. And then there's like this little reminder in there that some people trust in other things than God.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, I mean, I'm not really trusting much in chariots nowadays.
Right.
They're not my thing, you know. But what do I trust in? You know, sometimes we trust in things that are not God, and it says they all collapse and fall.
Mm.
Anything that's not God could collapse and fall.
Right.
Anything that's not God.
Yeah.
So we trust in the name of God.
Mm.
So it's just so beautiful.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, we're going to look at our questions today in light of blessing. And I really want to be more selfless in wanting good for others. I really do. So, all right, what do we learn about that? This desire for a person or group of people to be protected. And how can we apply this to daily life? How can we do this thing?
Mm. I think it starts out, for me, it's that looking toward the other's interest, because I'm not even going to notice people around me if I'm so focused on myself and what I'm lacking, or even pride in what I have or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think it starts with looking to the interests of other before myself. Yeah. So I can see, oh, they're struggling for this. Oh, I'll pray this blessing over them. Oh, I'll pray this for you. Oh, God's going to answer your prayers. His mighty hand will be beside you and restore you. Mm-hmm. So I think it's noticing.
I think a lot of it is noticing. And I think it flows from love. When someone is dear to you, you want them to do well. Mm. I mean, I really want my kids to succeed and do well.
Oh, yeah.
That's easy.
Right, right. Hopefully.
However, some of the things are not as easy when it's not somebody that I'm as close to, that to extend to them a blessing as well.
Yes.
I can remember a time, I think I've shared this in a blog. I can't remember if I've shared this in a podcast or not, but I was walking an older dog of ours, Portia, our dog named Portia, and we were walking up Beck River Road, and I just was walking. I was innocently walking. I was just me and my dog doing no harm, right?
Right.
And all of a sudden, this woman comes out of her house and starts swearing at me. She is red in the face. She's so angry with me. And tells me to stop leaving my dog's whatsy woos in her garden. Well, I hadn't done that.
And oh, no.
I was shaking. She was, you know how anger makes you scared sometimes?
Yes.
She was out of control mad at me.
Oh, wow.
She really was. Evidently, somebody that looked like me with a dog like me had just not cleaned up after their dog.
Oh, yeah.
So I took up my little bag and I tried to explain to her. I was shaking like a little leaf.
Oh.
But she was not interested in listening. And so I finally just slunk. I slunked away. So I went back home and I thought, she's a really angry person. Mm. I think I want to bake her cookies.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. So I told Ray what I was going to do, and he said, take the cell phone with you.
Yes.
I'm not sure you should be doing this. She may be dangerous.
Right.
You know, do not enter her home.
Right,
I said, I just feel like I'm supposed to bless my enemy. And for whatever reason, she's my enemy, but I don't think I'm her enemy. You know, so I made the cookies.
Yeah.
It was so violent. I felt like I had to be nice. So God gave me a love for her, which is weird, but he did. So, and it was nice of him to do that. So I went back with my cookies without the dog.
Or the bag of poo, which is nice. I probably would have brought that just in case I need to like sling it and run. So you are very kind.
So, and I knocked on her door. She opens the door, and Nicole, she burst into tears.
Oh.
She said, I have never spoken so rudely to a person in my entire life.
Wow.
I have been feeling miserable. Oh. She said, right after you left, the woman that had done it came by, and I spilled out all my frustration on you, and now you're bringing me cookies?
Oh.
Isn't that the sweetest?
That's so beautiful.
So I ended up hugging her.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
The woman that had just been swearing at me and making me shake and tremble.
Scared you witless.
Yeah. Yeah. So I brought blessing to her, and then she brought blessing back to me.
See, and that's why God calls us to do it, because we don't know what happened to her that day.
Right.
We just know the moment and how we feel. And we felt horrible. And you were justifiably, you were innocent.
I was so innocent.
You were innocent and you were just yelled at. But I love that God calls us to more, because hurt people. And she was hurting for whatever reason.
Yes.
And you happened to be the poor target of her vehemence that day. But because you listened to God, oh, I just love that. You were able to bless her and help her. I don't know. That's such a beautiful story.
Yeah. And let us take a pause here to say, I am not always the hero. This is one of those rare occasions where I was. Just so no one gets the false idea that I walk around baking cookies for people all the time. But that particular time, the Lord had me do that. And this is what it means to bless, you know, and to remember that hurt people, like you just said.
Yeah.
And to think, okay, this person that just really wounded me, they are wounded.
Yeah.
How can I turn this into a way of, what do I want? How can I want the best for them?
Yes.
I think that's the way to say it.
A blessing. You turned a curse into a blessing.
Yeah. Yeah.
With God's help.
Right. Right. Because really, the best thing you want for your enemy is to turn nice, right?
Right.
So if you pray for their blessing, it's better for them and for you as a matter of fact.
Because responding in kind never solves the problem.
Oh, it doesn't. Anger begets anger.
Right.
That's why the Bible says a gentle answer turneth away wrath. Mm. So we can get in the habit of saying, may God bless you, or even praying for them. Jesus says, pray blessings for your enemy. Lord, help this hurt person who's wounded me to discover how much you love her.
Oh.
Whatever's broken in her, would you mend it, please?
Oh, that's so good.
Those are the kind of blessings we need to be for other people.
Yes, and starting with the may God puts him in front of us, but it takes us out of the, well, I think this should happen or this, or I'm feeling... May God, just step in front of me, God, because I'm going to say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing.
Oh, yes, I am.
So I love that. Right. May God, whew, you do it because I cannot.
Right, exactly. So that's practical. And
that is
we
good.
Always want to be practical. Yeah. So, okay, favorite verse. What's your favorite verse?
Verse 6 of Psalms. I think we read a couple different passages. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. I love that verse. Mm. He saves me and he answers me and the might of his right hand. He's just so strong. I can trust in that.
I love his right hand. He holds us with his right hand.
Yeah.
He does all kinds of things with his right hand.
That's a special hand, apparently. People that sit on his right hand. So, but I appreciate that he's offered it to me.
I know it. And I love the word I know.
Yeah.
He knows.
Mm-hmm.
And that is faith.
It is,
just
for sure.
Just knowing, even in the midst of trouble.
Yep.
Yeah.
No,
so,
I like that verse.
So cool.
What about you?
Well, mine was verse 3. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. Mm. May he see what you do and be pleased.
Oh,
isn't that just the nicest
that
thing?
That is good.
Because, you know, a lot of times people don't see what we do, but God does. And God sees the heart and God sees our effort, even if it fails.
Mm.
So may God see it. And of course he does, but
right.
It's kind of reminding
reminds
that
us.
Person,
yeah.
You know, that God sees you. God sees the things that you think aren't seen.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing to speak over someone.
Yeah.
That
so,
really is.
So good. So what did we learn about God from this passage?
Mm.
Well, I'll let you go first.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's mighty to save. I love that phrase. And we see it so many times here. He answers us and protects us and sends us help.
Uh-huh.
And we can trust him. We can trust in the name of the Lord because he saves us when we call to him.
Yeah.
We can just rest in him knowing that he's got all of this.
Right. Those horses and chariots, not so much.
Nope.
But God, yes. Yep. He's able to answer us. He's able to protect us. Yeah. He knows our heart's desires.
Yes.
You know, may God answer the desires of your heart. I love this quote from Tim Keller. As I was thinking about may God answer the desires of your heart.
Yeah.
Because I immediately thought of people who desire to be married who aren't.
Mm.
Or women that wanted children who did not get them. And I'm like, okay, so how do you reconcile this?
Mm-hmm.
So this is what Tim Keller says, and it has really comforted me for the hard times when, wait a second, my desire is this and I haven't been granted it.
Right, it feels like a good desire. It's
right,
not from the evil.
Exactly. So this is what Tim Keller says, and I just think it really helps. It helped me anyways.
Hmm.
We have the assurance that God, our Heavenly Father, always wants what's best for his children.
Mm.
God will either give us what we ask or give us what we would have asked if we knew everything he knew.
Ooh.
Isn't that a profound little thought?
Wow.
We don't know sometimes why a desire of our heart is not answered, but
right.
We don't know what he knows.
Right. It reminds me of that verse, he works all things together for his good.
Right.
And we'll sit sometimes in trouble and go, this doesn't feel good, God. This feels sad, losing someone you love or not having the desires of your heart met.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we forget that our idea of good is not God's idea of good.
Right.
Our idea of good is comfort or not being in pain or whatever, getting what we want right away.
Yeah.
But God's desire for good is, I think the rest of that verse is so that we'll be conformed to the image of his son.
Mm-hmm.
It's a refinement. He's making us into something beautiful.
Yeah.
Making us into more like Jesus.
Exactly.
That process can look painful, but it's for our good.
It's for our good. Yeah.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah. He will either give us what we ask or give us what we would have asked if we knew, everything he knew. Yeah.
That's so good.
So, just beautiful.
I love that.
So, all right. Well, how about if I pray with a blessing?
That
might work
well.
Oh, my goodness, Lord. Bless those that are listening today. May you show your favor to them. May you turn your face toward them and give them your peace. May you answer the prayers of their heart. Thank you, Lord. that you always want our best. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks for joining us today for another look at a Selah psalm and the word solitude. How about you? Do you enjoy solitude or does it feel frightening to you? Write us and let us know at sharon@sweetselah.org. We'd be so grateful if you would review our podcast and share it with others so more people find us. There are a lot of podcasts out there, and we rely on you to spread the word. If you want to help us produce the podcast, go to sweetselah.org/donations and donate with any gift of any amount. We'll send you our monthly podcast partner newsletter filled with information about the podcast and also about us and our families. It's like a family note once a month. We'd love to add you to the podcast partner list. We look forward to being back next week with a challenging topic. Episode 144 is all about forgiveness. Thanks so much for listening and have a great week.
We are so glad you stopped for a while with us. The Sweet Selah Moments podcast is a cooperative production of Word Radio and Sweet Selah Ministries. More information about this podcast can be found at sweetselah.org. Thank you for joining us.